don't get them girls loose, loose. You don't get the world loose, loose. You don't get money.
You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
The best fans in the NFL need their gear. Shop the new and improved selection of apparel and merchandise at the Cleveland Browns team shop. And you can get everything that you're seeing the coaches and players wearing on the sideline. And it is sweet gear. I mean, it really is. This Nike stuff is awesome. Visit the store at First Energy Stadium. Open 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. 7 days a week. Or go to shop.clevelandbrowns.com. Get your gear so you can paint the town Browns every Friday in support of these Cleveland Browns. Nathan Zagura, Vic Carucci back with you here on ESPN 850 WKNR. Notorious, are we going to get some barks from the dog pound, or are we going to talk to the...
I think we should go talk with our
good
main buddy
spokesman for Tomo.
If he's ready, Mr. Tomo.
Gerard Cherry here for Tomo Sushi and Hibachi, restaurant and lounge.
Nice.
Yes.
Hi, Gerard.
What's up, guys? How are you doing?
We're doing well.
We're doing very well. Very well. Now, Gerard, today is Call Your Shot Friday. So let me ask you right off the bat, we've called our shots. I have it close, but a Chiefs victory, 21-13. Vic, a little less optimistic, 27-10 in favor of the Kansas City Chiefs. Gerard, call your shot.
35-13.
Ooh.
In favor of the Chiefs.
Wow.
35-13 in favor of the Chiefs.
Break it down. Is this just the, do you see the, because that kind of score indicates a little bit of an avalanche of sorts. So is it defensive-driven avalanche?
Yeah.
Chiefs defense?
It is. I mean, this defense is for real, guys. Let's just put it out there. They pretty much lead every statistical category in the National Football League. And when you're doing that, you're doing it for a reason. And when you have a situation where there's a lot of flux and there's no stability right now with the quarterback position with the Browns, you got to assume the worst and also assume that it's going to be an adjustment period for this offense to get used to Jason Campbell and for Jason Campbell to get his bearings together and to go out there and ask a guy to perform well against the top. Not the second, third, fourth, or 15th best, but the top defense in the National Football League and one of the hardest places in the NFL to play, even when the Chiefs do suck, and this year they're actually good, is just asking a lot.
This part of waiting for or allowing for Campbell to kind of assimilate to the job and that there will be some transition period to that, I think is under discussed and maybe even underappreciated. But from everything I've heard internally, it is one of the concerns that this coaching staff has, is that Jason Campbell was not the guy being prepared to be the starter for this season. And despite those 9 years of experience that he has and the 71 starts that he made, that asking him to get comfortable with an offense right away is possibly or likely being asked too much.
It is. At the same time, though, when you sign on to be that backup quarterback, while you're holding the clipboard and you're listening to the calls being made and signaling in things, you still have to be ready. You have to be like that setup guy or that closer and put out the fire. So I will give him a little bit of a pass. The only reason I give him a little bit of a pass is because he's going against a defense that is for real. So I don't expect him to, say, be lights out and have a stellar game. Obviously, with my 35-13 indication, speaks volumes in itself. Yet, he still can't – he can do some things, but I don't expect the world from him, Vic. And then I look at what Jason's done thus far based on what I saw in training camp, based on what I saw in preseason, and then in a little bit of relief time that he had. I don't see – and I could be wrong, and I hope I'm wrong. I don't see a guy who's necessarily on fire for the situation. I see more of a guy who's like, you know what, I'm going to be professional and do my job. But I don't get the same sense and feel that I got from Hoyer. Like, man, you know what? I got opportunity. I'm about to go do this thing. Jason Campbell comes off to me as more disenchanted with what he's been through. And I can respect that because he's been through a lot. And then when you get jumped by the third quarterback, that hurts your feelings too. But you do have opportunity now to make something happen. Now, this is totally speculation on my part, but that's just how I see things.
And what does that say to the locker room, though, when you say something like that? When that's your observation, if you were a player, what would that mean to you?
That would mean to me pretty much, have we really replaced Brandon Weeden if the guy isn't on fire for it? So now he could shut me up and everybody else by going out there and driving that team down the football field, showing passion, showing energy, and I'm hoping to see that. And at the same time, I will say this in his defense, even though it sounds like I'm throwing him on the bus right now, you don't want to come out bragging and saying, yeah, I got this opportunity and chance, especially if you have a friendship with Brandon Weeden. The respectful thing is to handle it and say the things that Jason has said, But still, guys, when I look at the body of work of what I've seen thus far, I'm not excited, but maybe getting this opportunity will reignite some engines within him and make him move to another pace and a level that we have not seen thus far.
He's taken a page out of Business Book 101. Undersell, over-deliver.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly. Right. Vet move. It could be that.
Let me ask you this, Gerard, because you have the Chiefs getting to 35 points in this game.
Probably saying how.
How are they getting to 35 points in this game?
That's a great question, but we get it. They haven't done these type of numbers before, but Jamaal Charles has torched the Cleveland Browns every time he plays them. He does. If you go back and look at it, he has great games against us for some reason. Bo has done well. And you know this is going to be an opportunity where Andy Reid is saying, all right, let's work on our vertical game. Let's do some different things. Now, you hope if the defensive line comes to play, all that will be null and void, what I just said. But I have a feeling that they're saying to themselves, here's an opportunity to work on our game. Work on being vertical because they struggle. They're anemic when it comes to that. They don't have a vertical passing game, to say the least. If you go back and watch the tape, you'll see what I'm talking about. They'll dink and dunk you, but guess what? If you're picking up 20, 30 yards on these dink and dunk plays with a McCutcheon out of the backfield with Jamaal Charles and then Bo doing some things over the top and underneath, you can put up those type of points, especially if it's a three and out situation. And that's the problem, guys. I think it's going to be a lot of three and out situations, a lot of great field position for this Chiefs offense. And that's how you put up those points that quickly. Great field position and an offense that's not producing, you can get 35 points in a heartbeat.
Well, and the Chiefs, as you mentioned, allowing a league low 25% on third down conversions. They have the best starting field position. Let me ask you this. Dwayne Bowe missed practice today with a groin injury. They are unsure if he will be able to play this weekend. Does that change your prognostication
a little
bit?
24-13. How's that?
All right, that's a little bit better. But let me ask you this. Do you really think the Chiefs look at this Browns team as being so not a threat to them that they are just going to go out there and treat this as a practice to go ahead and work on an aspect of their game that hasn't thus far been well implemented?
Not a threat, but a team to beat up. A team to say, you know what, let's do this. And it comes across as not being a threat. But you look at this team and you say, okay, they're struggling right now. First, I believe Kansas City's approach is going to be, let's take their heart away from them right away, which will be the prudent and smart thing to do. Let's go. And that's why I suggest the whole vertical idea, Nathan. Because what will happen is, if they have some success, Andy Reid, like any offensive play caller, it becomes like a drug. You want more of it, or a high for you that, hey, wow, we can do this. Let's do it again. So I think that out the gate, it's going to be a very aggressive game called by the Chiefs, in which they're trying to get up 14-17-0 in the first quarter, if possible, to take the heart out of the Browns right away. That would be my approach. So that's one of the reasons I make that suggestion.
Yeah, take it right up to the coin toss. If the Chiefs win that, they will do what teams do. They'll defer. Mm-hmm. They want to put that Browns offense, I think, on the field first.
They do.
Let that pass rush tear after Jason Campbell. Mm-hmm. Let their ability to hold the Browns running game in check, which, again, probably shouldn't take a whole lot of effort, but you look at that. And I'm with you on this. There's sort of these evolution points in a team that's rolling like this Chiefs team is. At 7-0, and you're Andy Reid, and I've known Andy for so long and how he looks at things. He's trying to find, and you nailed it, this would be a defining kind of win if they were to take the Browns out early and take them out convincingly, because it says, as a team, look, we're 7-0. There's still some questions. We're the only 7-0, only undefeated team left in the league. And there might be some questions. Just how good are we? People still think the Broncos are going to be better. People still think that when the Chiefs take on the Broncos, they will have little or no chance of winning those games. Yet, I think a game like Sunday, where they come in with a weaker opponent, at least on paper, that they can show that, hey, you want to see how good we are? Do you want to remove all doubts and questions? Look at what we do with sort of the wounded duck that comes in here with a quarterback change, with a lot going on within them, a defense that hasn't played well in recent weeks, and just take it over and do it quickly.
Yeah, and that sounds like the game plan to me. Makes all the sense in the world.
Yeah.
It certainly does. We hope that the Browns can take away Jamaal Charles and help have a good defensive showing. And Gerard, you talked about Jamaal Charles, how good he's been. He's the only running back in the NFL with 100 total yards and a score in every game. How do you go about trying to slow down a guy like Jamaal, who can beat you as a runner and then annihilate you in space as a receiver?
Great question. If I figure this one out, will I get a defensive coordinator?
That's right.
Well, the main thing starting from the get-go is gap integrity and guys swarming to the football. Because if you leave a crease or a space, he's that fast, he's that good, he's going to see it, he's going to identify it, and he's going to exploit it. So right there, just playing team defense is what you do against great running backs. Everyone be where they're supposed to be and don't make those mistakes. Because if you do make a mistake, he's going to make you pay for it. So you start right there. And then when you get to that situation where he's out there, I hope there's no linebacker matched up with him when he's out in space, when there's an empty backfield set. You might need to put a safety or bring in Leon or someone else of the DB persuasion to cover him, because you're asking for a mismatch and a half if you're going to put a linebacker on him. So DB, I would make an adjustment with
like
I would make the adjustment with a DB or of some sort, as well as just preaching, gap integrity, swarm to the football, because he will cough it up. That's one thing he'll do. If you tattoo him, he will give it up. So that's what you have to do, man.
Gap integrity is a huge part of what this defense does. It's the foundation of this run defense, and they've gotten away from it these last few weeks. If you talk with players and you hear Ray Horton say it as well, that they just it's all gap-based, and they have left, especially with the way they play those linebackers, they've left those areas a little bit uncovered, or whatever you want to call it. I mean, the integrity has mm-hmm. been lacking in that area, and I think it's caused some problems for this defense, for sure.
Yeah, and a good thing about it, though, Vic and Nathan, is that that's something that you can improve when you make ME's mental errors and mistakes like that. It's now the part that you have to say to yourself is, come on, guys. Pay attention to detail. Understand that you're an integral part. If one guy breaks down, it destroys the integrity of the whole defense. So those are things that you can improve. It's not a physical issue. It's a mental thing. So that's the good part about it, that it can be improved. It's not because guys aren't capable of making a play. It's just guys in the wrong place, so they will not be able to make the play.
Right. Right. All right, Gerard. Tremendous breakdown. I mean, we hope we're all wrong about this game. I pray that we're wrong,
right.
But I think we, you know, I think we're probably on the right track. And but we'll see how it all works out, obviously, on Sunday. But thank you, and we do look forward to talking with you on Monday. Either way,
sounds like a plan.
Regardless of the outcome. All right,
Gerard
Cherry, and he joins us regularly here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. We're going to get into your tweets next. That's coming up on CBD Football Friday.